SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am Renzi. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the People of Bustling, and everybody else in between. We got football fever. We're 3 weeks away. And if there's something that we learned tonight, number one, Babano knows the rosters of the NFL teams. The first couple of times, I let it go. And I mean, it's ever since the Teddy thing. If you notice, Matthias, like, if you notice, I've been much nicer to people on the show. You know how many times in the last week I'm like, God, this guy, like, this is upsetting me. I don't say something because it is right. I think Teddy was right. And it happened with George, right? I'm like, I can't ask guest questions and then attack them when I don't like the answer. So I can, but I should be on Fox News, right, instead. Like, I should be on cable news. Because that's what, like, it's the 100% like Sean Hannity move. He'll ask you an innocent question, you'll answer it, and then he'll just attack you. So what you're telling me is that you're an idiot. And then he'll start going. So I'm just going, I was like, you know, in the past, Babano's been coming. Listen, I think my show was the first show Babano was come on. Like, Babano used to just be like a listener and stuff. But how many times a year have you heard me, Matthias, say, Babano, like, sort of jump in and like, all right, come on, let's go. It's sort of like Seinfeld with Newman. Newman, you know, step out of it, right? Because he starts, like, he's like a watch. He starts going, bro, right? And he starts, so sometimes I'll have to jump in and go, yo, bro, come on, Babano. Like, yeah, we know. Let's go. Let's get to the pick, right? But he's very detailed, Babano. You can't hold it against him. That's his personality. He's a very detailed guy.
I know what that's like, Gabe. I can sometimes babble for a little bit too, and you get on me all the time. It's like, let's get to it already.
Just get to the pick. I know, trust me. That's, well, if it's takedown defense, I'm like, dude, I didn't ask you for the breakdown, all right? I tell you, though, it's a big thing because people don't realize that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the average guy, you know, on the podcast, you're doing this and that. Like, if you're on, like, an NFL show or something, right? Like, you notice, like, Jimmy Johnson's got 30 seconds, Matthias. You know what I mean? He's making, like, $8 million a year, but he's got 45 seconds to make his point. He can't tell you, like, the starting five guys on the offensive line. He's got to tell you, this is what's going on here, and get in and out. There's a skill to it. In and out, baby. You know what I'm saying? There's a skill to it. But Battle's more into the in than the out. We should wait till hockey when we ask him about hockey. Starts going over. Well, their defense, the defensive chart, and God bless them. So we have Mike Tenier stepping up and in. Mike Tenier will join us in a couple of minutes. FB Outsiders. So, yeah, I was going to say, though, if there's one thing we learned besides the battle knowing the rosters, how do we not take this Washington commander, whatever the hell they're called? I am Gabe Morency. And I stand by this comment. The Washington football team is a better name than the Washington Commanders. Let's do this thing. It's level three. We're rolling. Mike Tenier is going to step up and in. So speaking of level three, we're 3 weeks away from the start of the National Football League regular season. I love it. The hot takes are flying fast and furious. Some teams are getting the love. Some teams are getting picked on. Everybody's got a hot take. Love this time of the year right now. And if there's something that we... If you're just joining us right now, we have more football talk and football futures talk coming up here in the last hour of the program. Like I said, Mike Tenier from Football Outsiders and the Football Almanac will step up and in New York Times as well. So Mike's one of the best in the business. So we'll talk football futures. Going to focus in on the NFC West more and sort of around the league with Mike Tenier. But you know, the countdown to kickoff is on right now. And if you're just joining us, we were going over the NFC East, and we broke down the Cowboys earlier in the week, and the Cowboys are overhyped. The Philadelphia Eagles, we talked Eagle football last night with John Marks from WIP, and I think, there's not a lot of holes on this Eagle football team. I think the Eagles are poised for a double-digit win season. We haven't really gotten to the Giants yet, even though we talk a lot of Giant football all the time already with Saratella and everybody. And we haven't focused on Washington too much, actually. Because when you think of Washington, you just think of their loser owner, and, you think of their loser stadium, and you just think of them as a bunch of losers, right? But they're not as much of a train wreck on the field as they are off the field. The thing is, their win total is 8.5. What are the odds makers seeing that we don't see here? See, you're telling me that this football team to win this bet needs to be a above 500 team at 9-8 with Carson Wentz as their quarterback? They're not the deepest team in the world to begin with. Yeah, their defense is okay. You know what I mean? Their defense is good. It's good. It's not great. It's good. It's not bad. It's good. It's not great. It's good. Is it pretty good? No, it's good. All right? They took a big step back last year, their defense. We'll see what happens this year. Didn't they just fire their defensive coordinator or change a philosophy? Like, who the hell knows what goes on in that room every day? I think the only thing we know is they have, little cameras spying on their cheerleaders probably getting dressed. So it's the only thing we know about that team. Under 8.5.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Let's talk of football with one of our favorite guests and one of the best in the business. Mike Tenier joins us, senior analyst from Football Outsiders, contributor at the New York Times. Mike, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Always a pleasure. It's Wednesday night, and the great thing about the preseason is Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. This is one of our only days off, and here we are talking football.
So listen, Mike, I'm sort of expecting teams to take the pedal off the metal for the most part. I know there'll be a few exceptions, but I'm expecting teams to take the pedal off the metal this week in week two of the preseason. What are you hearing? What's your feel for week two of the preseason?
It's going to be all over the place. So it's very much, if you wager preseason games, it's a buyer beware situation. I'm hearing some things like the Dolphins might play their starters for a quarter or a half this week after resting them last week. Other teams who play their starters a lot, I think like the Colts, for example, are going to back off and put the backups in. So every matchup, you want to be looking at it. You want to be on Twitter. You want to be on the team's fan pages and find out who's starting before you place a bet, because you might discover that you've got all the starters against all the backups or vice versa if you're not careful.
You're exactly right. As a team, and it's like this all the time, but it really is a team by team thing. Some teams that didn't play, some guys that didn't play their guys at all want to get their guys some reps, but some guys that have played already, they don't want to overdo it with the dress rehearsal game coming up. So let me ask you, I know it's early right now, but it's not about wins and losses, and it's not about who dropped a pass in camp, but you can sort of get a feel, rightly or wrongfully so, about man, I like what this team is doing. I think it's going to fall into place for them this year. And my team is San Francisco. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm buying in. I like their practices. I like what I see from Trey Lance. I like their camp. I like their preseason game. I like their coaches. I like everything. That's the team that I'm watching in the preseason. And I'm like, you know what? I'm buying in. The Niners are back. Am I right or wrong? Am I crazy? What's your take on the Niners? And is there a team that you've been following in camp that you're like, you know what? I like what I see from these guys.
I'll start with the Niners, and you're right. They seem to do things the right way. So, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it seems like everything's got a plan. You're right, Trey Lance is working his way along. They've had a few injuries, but nothing catastrophic yet. Like, I see Jimmy Ward on the injury list, but there's nothing like that. So, yeah, this is a team that it's easy to be high on. They were stacked before. There's no red flags or even yellow flags about Lance. He's progressing, so you like that. The team that I had a lot of skepticism about coming into July and August that has proven a lot of my concerns wrong was the New Orleans Saints. I was worried we weren't even going to see Michael Thomas. That he was going to look at Davante Adams' contract and say, give me that now or I'm not showing up. I was worried that Alvin Kamara would be, you know, on the exempt list by now. I was worried that Jameis Winston would do this, that, and the other thing. Winston has had some setbacks in terms of a foot injury on the back of his ACL. Mostly he's been out there. They don't seem too concerned. Michael Thomas is fully participating in practice. Alvin Kamara's situation is good. Trevor Penning, the rookie who's going to play left tackle, mostly positive reviews so far. So that's a team that I look at and say, here's a question mark, here's a question mark, here's a question mark. Particularly from a health standpoint, they're answering a lot of those question marks right now.
I believe in Jameis Winston that they could win football games with him as the quarterback. And look, they were 4-2 last year with him, and they were running a pretty vanilla offense at the time. My one question about Jameis is, can he stay on the field? Can he stay healthy? Will he stay healthy? What's your opinion on Jameis and your confidence level in Jameis coming into this season?
Two questions. One is the health. And again, he's wearing a brace right now. He's missed some practices with a foot. It bears monitoring. I'm not like totally off board with this yet, but it's worth absolutely monitoring. That's one. The question is, will the interception machine return? And you know, late in his tenure last year, when they were starting to face some tougher opponents, you were seeing some of the interceptions and some of the turnover-worthy balls. I remember him getting away with some bouncing off the defender's chest, where that guy is always a possibility to return. And, you know, it's one thing when Sean Payton's your head coach and you say, well, Sean Payton will take care of that. But he's not there anymore. Dennis Allen is the head coach. It's a lot of Payton assistants there. It's wait and see. So I'm kind of back and forth on Winston. I'm kind of in the middle on him. The question is, with that defense, with a healthy Michael Thomas, with a healthy Alvin Kamara, good offensive line, how good does Winston have to be for them to be a playoff team? And the answer is, he can make some mistakes. He can be kind of ordinary. But if he throws in those big plays once in a while, as he often does, even when he's making those mistakes, that Saints team could be very strong.
You know what I'm fascinated by, the sense, as you talked about Michael Thomas, that here was a cat that basically wasn't happy with Sean Payton as his coach and Drew Brees as his quarterback getting like 140 balls a year. And I'm thinking, man, if you're not happy like with Drew Brees, if you sort of secretly think Drew Brees is holding you back and you're not a big, I don't really care for Payton very much, I'm thinking, oh boy, like what's the future hold? I don't know. It seems to be weird. Like that it almost, and I can't speak for that. I can't speak about personal relationships, Mike, but it's almost like now that they're gone, he's good, right? Like I'm hearing stuff from people that are like, no, he's never been happier, actually. He's 100% ready to go. He loves Coach Allen. He loves Winston. He's welcomed Olave with open arms. Like, you're just hearing nothing about, like, oh, no, he's so happy, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and, you know, the heart wants what it wants. And, okay, there's an Ohio State connection with Olave, so there could be something there that helps a little bit. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I can't help but think he figures, 110 catches, cash the paycheck right now, give me a copy of Davante Adams' contract. So, hey, if that motivates him, that's fine. I'm pretty motivated by money, too, but that might be what's going on in the back of his mind to a little degree as well.
And they do have a pretty nasty defense as well, yeah. The New Orleans Saints. So, speaking of wide receivers, there's always going to be a couple of players in camp that everybody says they knew how good the kid was going to be after, but George Pickens was a player that we knew that he had talent, right? But he came on, you know, he missed a lot of games. He came on, he played in the playoffs, etc., and then he falls in the draft. But I don't know, am I wrong? I wanted to ask you about Jordan Davis too. Like, basically looks like every one of these kids from Georgia is good. Like, just all right, just give me one of the kids from Georgia right now with Kirby Smart in the class that he had. But Pickens has really impressed people, and Pittsburgh do have a good track record of finding like solid young rookie wide receivers, don't they?
They do, and a lot of times they go for the talent, and they don't worry about some of the other things. And George Pickens' case, it was mostly the injuries, although there were some, you know, fracases on the field he was involved in as well. They overlooked that. They bring him in. He's had a phenomenal camp. He looked excellent against the Seahawks last week. And, you know, one thing with Pickens is the question then becomes, okay, he's really strong. They've got Deontay Johnson. They just paid him. He catches, like, you know, 12 balls a game because he's the underneath guy. They've got Chase Claypool, who was the star 2 years ago, rookies. What do you really expect from George Pickens? Like, from, like, a fantasy standpoint or from a prop standpoint, you have to realize he's still the wide receiver 3. He could be phenomenal and catch 35 passes this year. The good news for the Steelers is this is a team trying to break in Mitch Trubisky or maybe break in Kenny Pickett. This is a team that with those receivers, whoever the quarterback is, he can be that caretaker. He can be that rookie. He's going to be able to throw it short and get the yak, or he's going to be able to throw it up for grabs and get some guys to come down with it, and that's going to help the Steelers in the long run.
We've heard Coach Tomlin say in the past over the last couple of years, Mike, that we need to get back to who we are in Pittsburgh Steelers football. Geez. Yeah, but they never do. Exactly. Like you said, yeah, then you throw it 55 times with Roethlisberger, who's got a shot arm. Right? So I don't, like you said, oh, please, we've heard this before. Now are they going to be a more run-heavy offense now?
Probably because they have to, because, again, they're a little weaker at quarterback, and they do have Najee Harris, so I think their offensive line improved a little bit. But I don't know if you've ever listened to Pittsburgh radio out there. If you don't say we want to be the steel curtain again, like, once a week, but to keep them calm, they lose their minds out there.
So you've got to say the word steel curtain like five times a week to keep the locals happy.
you got to say steel curtain or Jack Lambert or Mean Joe Green once or twice
or the
a
bus.
Week. And then they're that's right, we're going to go back to the steel mills, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can throw the ball 50 times, and if you're winning, they'll hear the words and not necessarily see the actions.
That's well said. So, listen, Mike, I wanted to ask you about the NFC West on the other side, but in about 30 seconds here, Steelers win total is only 7.5. Tomlin's never had a losing record before. I think this is too light. What's your take?
That's pretty close to the number we have at Football Outsiders. I would bang the over on it because, again, I call it the yak and sacks plan. You're going to get sacks on defense. You're going to get yards after the catch on offense, and that's going to help your weak quarterback situation. And, again, it looks like I don't know how much the numbers have moved based on the Browns situation, but we're looking at a Browns team that will probably be starting Jacoby Brissett more than they think, and that has me a little more bullish on all the teams in the AFC North. And I think there's a degree to which right now the house is fading it, but they haven't faded it as far as they could once they get an exact number for that suspension.
More with Mike Tenier on the other side. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I saw you, Mike, in Los Angeles on Media Row, and now first came up is Los Angeles again. How about the fact, Mike, that the Buffalo Bills are 2.5-point favorites in this game? Is this because, like, Stafford and his arm and his issues? Is it that, the Rams don't have a home field advantage? I was telling people last night, I think Bills Mafia will take this stadium over, actually. But the number keeps going up, Mike. Like, even defending Super Bowl champions. Defending Super Bowl champions on their home field getting 2.5 points.
It sounds like a pick 'em to me. It sounds like it should be a pick 'em. And, I don't know, because we're 3 weeks out. I don't know who's putting action on this game 3 weeks out before we have a full injury report. It might be a little bit of Stafford. It might just be a little bit of the helium under the Buffalo Bills right now. Everybody has them as a team to beat. Football Outsiders, Football Outsiders Almanac, we have them as a team to beat. But that's a season-long appraisal. That means they're going to womp the Jets, and they're better than the Patriots, and they're going to get, 11, 12 wins. It doesn't necessarily equate to a one-on-one matchup against the Los Angeles Rams. So I would still lean in the direction of the Bills, but if I have to give 3 points from the Bills, I would rather probably stay away from that game, especially with it being the opener and not knowing what that stadium's going to look like, than to go in and start laying a bunch of points against the defending Super Bowl champions in their home house.
What are your thoughts on the Rams? We talked briefly about San Francisco, but as far as this division, and I know you guys did, you did the win totals division by division and projections. So let's start off with the Los Angeles Rams. Which direction does Stafford go in your opinion? And, do they lose the hunger? How good is this football team in your opinion? And the win total at 10.5, that's their number this year.
Yeah, 10.5, that's right on kind of where the Football Outsiders projection is, so that's a matter of taste at that point. And I don't believe in losing the hunger. They don't seem like that type of group of individuals there. It comes down, and you asked about Stafford. I think Stafford's going to go sideways. Stafford won the Super Bowl, and there were a couple weeks last year where Stafford looked like he was going to cost that team the Super Bowl because he was throwing interceptions deep in his own territory. That's who he's going to be for the rest of his career. He will win a couple of games for you. He might lose one or two for you as well. If you come out at the end of it 12-5, then you're in great shape with him. So, Football Outsiders considers them a contender. I consider them a contender. I think it's going to be strong overall, with the caveat, of course, that like a lot of teams can lose a guy or two to injury. There's five guys on the Rams, but if they lose that guy to injury, that's it. That's all she wrote.
San Francisco's 9.5, Mike, but it's -145 to the over at FanDuel. So it's shaded to the over here. I'm buying in. You know, in betting totals, I hate the 9.5s. I like the 7.5s and the 8.5s, et cetera. But yeah. I do think they're a double-digit win team, San Francisco. Are they a 9-8 team, a 10-7 team, according to you guys? Maybe 11 wins? Because I'll throw it out there. I think San Francisco are an 11-win team.
We were right in and around 10 wins with them. And, yeah, Football Outsiders projections are conservative. They're like you. As soon as you get up into those double digits, you're like, okay, now that we're up in the stratosphere here in terms of things. And, you know, one of the reasons why Football Outsiders doesn't take them too high is you can only stick Trey Lance in and project so much for real, for real. You're pretty much putting in almost a rookie there. There's not a body of work from last year to put in. There's not a lot of statistics from college to put in. So you put in, okay, this is a guy, you almost put in a Jimmy Garoppolo with a better arm, and you say, what does it say? And it's going to say most of the time, well, conservatively about 10 wins, but that's who they are. And again, we look at them, the defense is going to be strong. They're going to get yards after the catch. Debo's back. He's healthy. The team overall is healthy. It's a strong team. It's when you get to that second tier in the NFC West, that's when things start to get a little bit weird. And that's one of the things we also have for both the Rams and the Niners. Might be a slightly easier division this year.
Now, the Seattle Seahawks, I know they're going to lose more games than they're going to win, but I'm starting to think that they're not going to be the complete train wreck that everybody believes, right? Like, their win total is 5.5. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I've been following their camp very closely. I like their ground attack. Like, they're serious about it. They're running hard. They're aggressive with this. They do have skill position players. You know, obviously you've got the quarterback situation, but still, I mean, this is not like a, they're not a two-win team here. It's 5.5. What's your feeling on Seattle? Am I crazy? Am I crazy out here in the West? Because, you know, I do get a lot of Seattle news on my cable here. So am I buying in? What's your take on the Seahawks? 5.5.
Thing with the conservatism. When you're way down there, you're not crazy for starting to sniff it over. Football Outsiders Almanac, we got them at 6.4 as our win total, and that's one of the lowest totals in the league. It's down there with, like, the Giants. I'll tell you, we have them ranked as the worst offense potentially in the NFL. And you're right, I think they can run the ball a little bit. Yeah, I like Lockett. I like Metcalf. Quarterback situation is critical. Offensive line situation hasn't gotten that much better. And that coordinator they have there, Waldron, we haven't seen enough of him to be really excited. So, possibly the worst offense in the league, kind of a middle of the pack defense, and hey, you know what? They've got one of the best punters in the NFL. You know, it's crazy, but if you're thinking about win six, where you're going to get win six, it could be punting some other bad team inside the 10-yard line a couple times. That's where win six comes from. So I don't love it down there, but I can see the over for the Seattle Seahawks if the number's that low.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about that for San Diego State. I was like, man, I don't know how many games they won, because that kid just, like, absolutely crushed it in college, like from his end zone, and the other team started on the 8 when normally they start on the 40. You know what I mean? You're right.
The punt position, it still works. It still works.
Hey, man, Ray Guy was one of my favorite players as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Guy, like, threw, like, a no-hitter in, like, the College World Series and stuff. Like seriously.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, badass pitcher. I used to have him on the show, bro. Like, yeah, he went to Southern Miss, like a badass baseball pitcher. Just an overall great athlete. He was the backup quarterback, too, right? I don't want to just get random out here, but Ray Guy, he was so cool, guys. He was the punter. He was the third-string quarterback for the Raiders, too. That's badass.
Yeah, that was common back then. Remember, Danny White just took over for Roger Staubach. He'd been the punter for 8 years.
Danny White's the quarterback now. You're right. Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's great. Randall Cunningham, also a great punter. Okay, so Arizona Cardinals, 8.5. This one I think they got really sort of bang on. Like, this is one where, like, if somebody asked my opinion, name or Etsy, Arizona over 8.5, I'm going to go, I think they're an over team. I think this is a 9 or 10 win team. But at the same point in time, I'm not quite ready to bet on it, and it wouldn't shock me if they were an 8-9 team, if the wheels fell off. In the past, Mike, they've always started off strong. They've had, like, some strong starts, and they hit the wall. Kyler has a hard time staying healthy and confident for the season. Kingsbury seems to, like, hit the wall after 8 or 10 games all the time as well. But, you know, the Super Bowl is in Arizona this year. What's your take on Arizona over under 8.5? Because a lot of people sort of roping them off. Are you one of them?
We got them under. We got them around 7 wins in our projections. You can find these projections, by the way, at Football Outsiders Almanac. Go to Football Outsiders and click the banner, get the almanac. You'll get all our projections and so much more. We have them around 7 wins, in part, toughest schedule in the NFL. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but right off the bat, you realize they're going to be playing the Rams twice. They're going to be playing the 49ers twice. Pretty difficult schedule overall. And you're right. This is a team that has a habit of hitting the wall. We have them weak on defense. We have them weak on special teams and kind of middle on the pack on offense. So remember that you're looking at Nuke Hopkins with a suspension. You're looking at Hollywood Brown, the new wide receiver, possibly facing some problems as well in terms of he can't drive 55 in the desert down there. And you got... You know, and if you start naming off the guys in your defense, you start with J.J. Watt and realize he's on the downside of his career. He's been had health issues along the way. And then you have a lot of guys that we haven't seen a lot of, like Isaiah Simmons and guys like that who are top prospects. But it's like their third year being a top prospect. That should be a yellow flag. So I'm looking – that's the one strong take I have in this division, really, is I'm looking under for the Arizona Cardinals.
Mike, we'll get you out of here in like 2 minutes time. You just said the word Isaiah, and I couldn't help but think of Isaiah Spiller, who was very, very impressive, actually. I like the way he ran straight. A lot of young guys will sort of dance around a bit. But just to tie up a couple of loose ends in our final 2 minutes here, we talked West Coast for everybody tuning in on the West Coast, but a little East Coast on the way out here. Another team, I was talking about San Francisco earlier. I know you follow the Eagles closely. I bet them to win the division earlier in the week. I said, you know what? I'm getting in on this. No more just talking about it. I'm doing it. I got the Eagles to win a division at +180. I put like $350 on it. Pays $1,000. I wanted to get $1,000 back. So I'm like, all right, nice. But now I'm going to step up. I'm going to go 9.5. I'm all in. I like what I see from the Eagles. And quite frankly, I think they're better than the Cowboys. They have a hell of a lot less holes than the Cowboys. What's your take on my Eagle enthusiasm?
You're absolutely right. If you look at it on paper right now, they have less holes than the Cowboys. Football Outsiders Almanac projection has a close neck and neck, but the Eagles a little bit ahead of the Cowboys to win the division. And again, we just talked about the hardest schedule belonging to the Cardinals, the easiest schedule belonging to the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember, they're going to get the Giants twice. They're going to get the Washington Commanders twice. Carson Wentz is going to set foot in Philly, and he's just going to burst into flames. And if you look up and down the schedule, there's a lot of other weaker teams along the way that the Eagles are going to get. So that's going to help. The team with a strong offensive line has a rebuilt secondary, has a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, so even if we have questions about him, we know he's going to be running for some yardage. We know he's going to be distributing the ball. And if he improves his deep ball a little bit, he's going to be a handful. So I like it. What'd you get, +180?
+180 to win a division.
+180 to win a division, that's great. If it gets a little below that, it's not enough meat on the bone, but I like that where it is.
All right, and we got about less than a minute here. So Zach Wilson's out. Am I wrong? Is my mind in the gutter? I just can't help but think of Zach like doing hot nurses in the hospital now. Do you know what I mean? Hey, baby, just picture him like it's like a porn movie. What's that? I just picture him in the hospital, like a couple of like hot nurses walking, and be like, yeah, of course he gets the hot nurse. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, it's the same thing. It's like his mom's best friend shows up, and Aunt Desiree's got taken care of. You just put your leg right up here, Zach.
Can you imagine like being the poor guy like in the next room or in the room thinking, man, look at all the cougars and milfs and the girls this guy's got coming to visit him. It's stuff like you're sitting there alone reading the football almanac. Football Outside his almanac. Like we encourage everyone to get all the predictions, fantasy projections, win totals, divisions, and everything. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, God. Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy the rest of your week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Mike Tenier. FB Outsiders, New York Times. Love getting various opinions, different perspectives. NFL season now just 3 weeks away. And, man, I think we've been doing a pretty good job breaking it down. Last night we had Vegas Matty on talking about all the super contests and Vegas contest and all that. A lot of our guests actually this week are in Vegas for the Super Contest weekend. There's a Wager Talk get-together this weekend if you want to join those guys. You can do it Saturday night at the Westgate. We'll be there in a couple of weeks for Labor Day weekend. College football is going to be off the hook and then right into the Rams and the Bills. As it's getting real, man. 3 weeks right now. So to recap where we're at here tonight, it seems like basically the Philadelphia Eagles are the trendy it team of the week. It's going to happen during the preseason. People are going to start to sort of notice and buy into a team as the season approaches. And I think a lot of people are buying into the Philadelphia Eagles right now in the betting community. The fact of the matter is, listen, man, the Dallas Cowboys just aren't as good as they have been in past years, in my opinion. The Dallas Cowboys have a lot of ifs, right? A lot of ifs. The offensive line is a big if. Their wide receiver depth is a massive question mark. Dak Prescott's health and consistency and staying healthy for the entire season is an if. Can they create as many turnovers as they did last year, which a lot of people think is a random variance? It's not like Mike McCarthy suddenly going to get smarter and Kellen Moore is suddenly going to get smarter either. They just are who they are. I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles' time now. And we already got in on them to win a division. Now we'll pull the trigger on the over 9.5. Now, as far as the Washington Commanders are concerned, for the most part, people are pretty down on the Commanders. But as I stated earlier, you've got to separate the sideshow that is the football operations and the ownership group and the scandals and the football team itself. Yet the football team itself, while I don't think they're a laughing stock, and I think they're a competitive team, and they, you know, they've got a puncher's chance when they step on the field against anybody. But at the same point in time, I think the odds makers, I don't understand the 8.5 here. Now, you've got to lay the price. FanDuel's got 70 cents. So anybody out there right now, feel free to let us know what you see it at your book if you're not in a FanDuel state or area. Because we're seeing 80 cents as well. FanDuel's got a better price at 70 cents than some of the other spots I'm seeing right now at minus 180. Now, listen, you could bet it at 7.5 at like even money, you know what I mean, minus 120 or whatever, over under 7.5 for Washington. But this is one where I'm willing to bite the bullet and lay the juice. I just don't see, you know, the Washington Commanders winning 9 football games. It's not easy to win in a National Football League. It's not easy to have a winning record. And 9-8, you know, that's a winning record, not just like a 500. No, we're better than a 500 football team. I can't sit here and tell you guys that, yeah, I think Washington are better than a 500 football team. They're not. Like, you know what I mean? So what, Carson Wentz is suddenly not going to turn the ball over? Carson Wentz suddenly is not going to get injured? I like what Mike Tannier just said to us, that he's basically going to, you know, combust and explode when he goes to Philadelphia. That's going to be off the hook. Like, you know, but why do you know, don't you get the feeling that, yeah, Carson Wentz goes to Philadelphia and, yeah, he won't play. He'll be hurt that week. Yeah, he'll be hurt that week. It's hard to buy in. Depth is a massive concern for this Washington team. You know, cosmetic, listen, their defense is impressive. They've got a good defensive line, right? They've racked up draft picks over the years. They drafted a bunch of guys from Alabama, essentially. So it's not a talentless football team, but from an offensive standpoint, it lacks explosiveness. Carson Wentz gets injured, turns the ball over. Now, if you look at their skill position players, you know, Antonio Gibson is just sort of okay, right? He's, you know, he was trendy a couple of years ago. He's never taken that next step. McKissick is a good player. All right, so, you know, if you look at their, that's not bad. Their wide receivers, you got McLaurin, Curtis Samuel was at a hard time staying on the field, and Dotson. A lot of guys who are good but have a hard time staying on the field. Logan Thomas. So, like we said, it's not like the talent isn't there, but it seems to me that they've overreached a little bit here with the 8.5. To have to win 9 games. As we stated, we got to lay juice, but sometimes, you know, it is what it is. If you like something at plus money, you take it. And, you know, basically, if you like it to win, don't worry about the price. As far as Washington's schedule is concerned, They open up the season. They open up the season against the Jacksonville Jags. And it's actually in Washington, so that's a winnable football game for them. They could lose that game. I don't think they do. Let's give them the win. Then they're at Detroit. Let's give the Lions the win. Versus Philadelphia. This is where, like, right away, sort of like, if you're Washington, and, you know, you're going to get to the 9 wins, you better win the first 2 games against Jacksonville and Detroit, because then business starts to pick up a little bit, right? Versus the Philadelphia Eagles, at the Dallas Cowboys, versus the Tennessee Titans, at the Chicago Bears. Then you host the Packers, you're at the Colts, you host the Vikings, you're at the Eagles. It's a pretty, you know what I mean? It's a pretty, that's a rough stretch. Then they get a little 2-week reprieve. At Houston versus Atlanta, at New York Giants versus New York Giants. One of the rare times in the NFL ever that teams have played consecutive games against each other. Washington and New York, the Giants. But there's going to be a bye week in between. And then what I like about this, too, if you're betting the under of Washington, is how the season ends. So, like seriously, like, Washington aren't going to run away with this total. So let's just say, hypothetically, we're coming into the last 3 weeks, and it's like, whoa, man, these guys are at 7 right now, right? They win 2 of the next 3 games. We lose the bet. Okay. They're at the San Francisco 49ers. They host the Cleveland Browns. And who knows what the Browns will be by January 1st. Dallas Cowboys on the last game of the year. I just don't see this happening. And today, are they going somewhere? I see a neutral, neutral field. I don't think so, right? We wouldn't torture a foreign country and send Washington there, would we? Would we? Maybe they would. There's a bunch of these international games this year, isn't there? Aren't they going to, like, Germany? Is it Tom Brady? I think Tom Brady, yeah. Isn't Tom Brady going to Munich or something? I think they're going to Munich. We know they're going to London again. They're going to England, like, 3 or 4 times or something again. And I think it is. I know Tom Brady. Yeah, Tom Brady's going to Germany. I don't know who they're playing. Whatever. Doesn't concern me right now. Let's go under. Under. You've been understruck. Understruck, the Washington Commanders. Yeah, they're not winning 9 games. They're not winning. Like I said, they're not a complete train wreck and a disaster or anything like that, but I don't see how they get to 9. Strange division, isn't it? The fascination with the Cowboys and even Washington. Like, really? I'm still thrown up by this. I'm like, really? 8.5? The other one is the Bears at 6.5. Like, the odds makers are good at what they do. Mark Lawrence, a good friend of ours. Mark Lawrence, one of the best in the business. We got to get Mark back in the rotation on the shows. But Mark has a line. Always respect the odds maker's number, right? Oh, they don't know what they're doing. That's a bad number. Well, you know, they generally know what they're doing, the odds makers, right? Yet, I got to tell you, when it comes to the Chicago Bears, here's another one where, quite frankly, I might set it at 4.5 if I was setting a number for the Bears this year. I think the Bears legitimately could be the worst team in the National Football League. Or they're going to be right there. I think the Bears are better than Atlanta. I think the Bears will be better than Atlanta. I think Atlanta is probably like the front runner. Houston won't be great, but Houston will find a way of winning 3-4 type games. You know what I mean? Houston always just win enough to screw themselves and not give themselves the best pick in the draft. So... But and it's funny because I'm watching the Bears right now, and still this game's going on against Kansas City, the preseason game, the replay of it. And, yeah, good for them. They won the game. Nice. There's always, like, a team that we all think is going to be terrible, and they're actually not. But they just don't have enough talent. It's as simple as that. Their defense is going to get worn out. Justin Fields is going to be running for his life. He's got no one to throw the football to. They don't have a consistent enough ground attack. There's just too much. I don't see how they get to 7. They play in a tough division. The Minnesota Vikings are going to be good this year. Thing with the Vikings, and we'll get to them too in the future, but the thing with the Vikings is their number moved. I think it moved, Jerry. It did move. Their number moved. I remember there was some like 8.5s early in the spring or whatever. whatever. Like, as soon as the numbers were, like, right away, right? There was 8.5, but people started to buy into the Vikings. Like, as it is now, it's 9.5. I've seen some flat nines at different prices and stuff like that. As we stated, this is a definitely, you know, poke around if you're betting a team to see, you know, you don't want to bet a team and get the bad number. But I can't defend, I can't say, oh, yeah, for sure they're winning 10 games. I think they are, but, you know, I don't want, I'm not going to bet a bunch of futures and put, like, $200 on it. And I'm not, like, unit shaming people or anything, but I'm just saying, if I'm betting $200 on it or something, do I really want to wait 4 months or 5 months? So if I'm going to do this, I'm going to put, you know, like college, whatever, I'll put $500 on some of them and stuff. But NFL, like I put $1,000 on a bunch of these each on a bunch of these NFL futures. And I'm like, what's the point? It's not enough. I better double up on it. Right. Or, you know, since I'm doing this for real and I put all this work into this to figure out which teams I actually want to pull the trigger on. So far, the locked and loaded, the Cleveland Browns, we pulled the trigger the day that Deshaun Watson got 6 games, and we said they won't win 10 games even if they have them, and now we don't even know if they're going to have them, and it went to 8.5, so we got into 9.5 there. That's in. Miami Dolphins over 8.5 is in. Chicago Bears under 6.5 is in. Philadelphia Eagles to win the division is in. Now it's time to add the Philadelphia Eagles over 9.5 to the portfolio. We're going to add the Washington Commanders under 8.5 to the portfolio. And I'm not torn because I like San Francisco. But I'm just wondering if I should just take San Francisco to win the division at plus money as opposed to taking them like on at even money on their win total. I guess in that instance, we split it in two. Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, you know what? I really should have filmed this because it was either like a UFO outside our window, or it's like a drone. I'm assuming it's a drone. Hey, listen, I'm not questioning the UFO thing. I just doubt the UFO would be outside my window. But it wasn't exactly outside. It was actually like over the water. But I was like, oh my God, is that like a plane about to crash? Like there was like a, I saw this like sort of light, like really fast. Like it was definitely alarming. I see some weird stuff, man, at night. But it sort of stopped, and it was a green light and a red light, and it stopped, and then, I don't know. Then there was like a pack of birds that it flipped out, so I don't know if it's just some jerk with a drone trying to freak, I don't know. Either that or they're trying to make contact. I figure that if aliens make contact with anybody, they come to me first, right? And what would I tell them? I'd tell them to take the Washington Commanders under. You know, I guarantee you, if aliens showed up, the first thing they'd ask, why'd they change their name to the Commanders? So I don't know, because they're idiots, that's why. The Washington football team is actually better. But we're talking Washington. Is this true tomorrow? We got Mike Wise tomorrow? We're going to get Wiser tomorrow? Good stuff. Mike Wise, Washington Post, good stuff. Man, we got big time. Hey, New York Times, Washington Post, like... nothing but the best for the Rageaholics. Yeah, Mike Wise, we'll talk Washington football tomorrow. Tune in to Game Time Decisions at 6 o'clock Eastern for our picks tomorrow night as far as this game. So listen, these teams have been beating each other up and, like, man, like killing each other all week. The Panthers and the Patriots, that's like going to be an interesting game this week. A lot of these games, teams have been like scrimmaging against each other and they've been fighting and stuff. Friday night's game is going to be a must watch to see these teams play. Seattle -3.5. I tell you what, I was on Seattle +3.5 last week in the over. We got the split. As bad as the Chicago Bears will be in the regular season, I think the Chicago Bears +3.5 for the play in this football game. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.